The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to
hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man. Different version of Dude Friday. No Chewy. We established. I didn't even look the last time we had a Dude Friday without Chewy, and Homer was our cousin sub. Homer did not consider himself a dude, but I think the poll came back saying he was a dude, right? I think that was the final poll, that Homer is indeed a dude. I don't think we need to poll this one. He's been in here before. I don't think there's been any disputes over Alex Strofe being a dude, as Alex Strofe is our cousin sub of the day. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, buddy. I think the only dispute you'd get is from Joshy, because he's in a weird mood this morning. He's oddly combative at 7 a.m.
Oddly combative? Have you? No, he's just been...
He's just Joshy?
He's just Joshy. Okay. I don't know if you were expecting like a nicer, gentler Joshy at 7 a.m.
He gets gentler throughout the day, I would argue.
Joshy? I just lose the ability to deal with you.
Look,
it's fair. I'm not disagreeing.
Josh, yeah. How long have we known each other at this point? It's been, a decade?
Yeah, my 10 years coming up soon. Okay. So it's about 9.5 years.
Yeah, so Josh and I have known each other for about a decade. Josh is who he is. You get what you get, man. This is... You expecting him to be less combative at 7 a.m. is more on you than it is on him. He has been very obvious about the person he is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's already taken two shots of my mental capacity and wherewithal.
Well, but
it's 7 a.m. I've been here for 25 minutes, Gabe.
But here, part of the problem is you. You've got rabbit ears, man. He was taking a shot at somebody else, and you thought he was taking a shot
true.
At you.
That part's true.
I was going to say, I took one shot, and you determined the other one.
That is a good point. That is a good point. And in my brain, it still clicks that it was against me. Nonetheless, excited to be here. Thanks for having me. I think I'm a dude. Joshy, I'm good there?
Dude, you can fit into dude.
All right,
he's got the flannel on today, definitely. Yeah. You've got the dude attire.
Great. Yeah, I'm happy to start Friday here, because look, no shot the Packers lose on Sunday.
Okay, so we got to talk about this.
Yeah, sure.
Because Jen was doing this yesterday, and we had a lot of different things to get to, where she was baffled about the line being 5 or 5.5, depending upon where
you're
looking.
Yeah, I don't get why it's moving, but...
And she seemed to be more in your camp. Man, 0% chance that the Packers lose this game. You have been saying this all week on KBN.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, speaking of Homer, like Homer used to do this all the time. And then when he would get one of his 0% wrong, I made him take a percent off. So, I think we got up to like 5% chance. You know, that was the lowest he could go on something, because he just kept saying, oh yeah, 0% chance that this happens. Well, then the thing would actually end up happening. But I'm very confident in the Green Bay Packers.
As you should be, yeah.
I'm very confident.
Yeah.
I also recognize that this is not a team that's playing crisp, clean football at the moment. And they're not exactly known for playing crisp, clean football coming out of the byes under Matt LaFleur. So I recognize that there is a chance they lose this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from, right? As you mentioned, Matt LaFleur in his 5 years as the head coach, now year six, is 2-3 after the bye, which is obviously under 500. That includes a loss last year to the Denver Broncos, who weren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the Packers were not playing their best football in week seven. They had a week six bye last year. Here's why I'm so confident. Because, Gabe, you know me. I mean, we work together every Sunday on Green Bay Game Day. I'm typically a pretty nervous fan.
Really? Yeah.
Hey.
What happened?
I was saying the exact opposite.
He was anticipating what you were going to say.
What happened?
Josh, he got that one wrong. But he was also right at the same time.
Yeah, true. But I'm typically a nervous fan, right? So we do this show 3 hours before kickoff on Sunday, 9 a.m. this Sunday. Gabe Neitzel, Brian Bulaga, John Anderson, and myself on Green Bay Game Day. And I typically find reasons to be pessimistic entering mm-hmm. games, no matter who they're playing, right? Even I think back to earlier this year, you have the obvious Malik Willis angles, right? Playing Indianapolis and Tennessee, I was nervous about those games. Even Jacksonville, I was like, they're going to win, but it could be kind of dicey. It could get ugly.
And it was dicey.
And it was just that, but also Jordan Love, not fully healthy, got hurt again, and then you have Malik Willis in the second half. I just can't come up with in my mind a scenario in which the Packers lose. I asked you guys when I walked in this morning. I was watching, you know, obviously Sunday Night Football last week. Jared Goff throws, what was it, 5 interceptions
for
against Houston.
Yep.
I think if Jordan Love threw 5 interceptions, the Packers would lose.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that. That's okay. A hot take. My hot
take.
All right,
wait. Okay. If he throws 4 interceptions, would the Packers lose?
Is it 0 pick sixes? None of them go back for touchdowns?
I mean, at this point with Jordan, I think you almost have to assume one of them's going for a touchdown.
We're at 10 interceptions. 2 of them were pick sixes. Yeah.
So, you know, if he threw 5, at least one of them are. we're doing math. We're doing way too much math for it to be 7:07 a.m. If he threw 4, they win 31-30. And now they're not scoring 30 points.
How the hell are you getting to 30?
Yeah, they're not scoring 30 points. No, yeah, they still win if he throws 4.
How are the Packers getting to 31 if they're giving 4 possessions away?
5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. I mean, I don't know. That math still doesn't work.
Okay. Yeah. We're done with the math now.
Yeah, that'd be good. Regardless, I'm really struggling to come up with a scenario where the Packers could lose because I trust Jordan Love, who's debatably the healthiest he's been since week one, right, going into this game. If this offense cuts down on some of the self-inflicted wounds we've seen, which is a big if.
But again, so that's what you're doing. You're trying to make this team something they have not been yet.
Yes, but the Chicago Bears are doo-doo. Their offense is completely inept. They haven't scored a touchdown in 2 weeks or 2 games, right?
Like, yeah.
This defense is much better than Thomas Brand, who is the new offensive coordinator now, who was promoted this week for the Bears. He was the offensive coordinator on an interim basis last year when the Packers played Carolina. They put up a lot of points against the Green Bay Packers on Christmas Eve last year.
But Bryce Young's best game of his career.
Right. And Caleb Williams, I don't think, can do that against this version of this Packers defense. That was a Joe Barry defense. So as I run through all the scenarios to get to your point, Gabe, I just can't come up with one that ends with the Packers in the L column.
I mean, it would be the Packers beating themselves.
Yeah. Which they're capable of doing, I will admit.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, this is not a team that has gone out and proven to you that they can avoid the big mistake. Jordan Love has not avoided the big mistake at all once this season. He does not have a game with 0 turnovers, does not have a game with 0 interceptions. They are among the most penalized teams in the league. They play sloppy football.
Yeah, but defensively, they really haven't, right? They have, but not in recent memory. Other than
the false, you know, the offside penalties that they have that crippled them against the Lions. You know, other than that, the most recent example of a game that they've had, you take that and throw it aside.
Let's compare the Bears to the Lions, shall we?
But again, that wasn't a Lions thing. That was a Packers doing it to themselves.
Sure.
And you have somebody guessing a snap count on 4th down.
And what you're failing to realize here is the line being what it is and moving towards the Bears says more about the Packers than it does about the Bears. The Bears are in utter disarray, and Vegas still thinks that number is too large for what it's been. So it's been moving the other way. This isn't a Bears take. This is a Packers take. The team has not performed the way everyone thinks they should, which then keeps other teams in games.
Which, to me, you can slice that one of two ways, and I can do it both ways into this game. Like, the fact that they haven't performed the way we have expected, and they're 6-3,
right?
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Uh-huh. Like, you haven't played the way you wanted, you're 6-3, you want to be playing your best football at the end of the season, especially if you're, if we're being honest, likely a wild card team, and you're going to have to go on the road for 3, right? I mean, the only way they're not is, to me, they have to go 7-1 in this stretch, like, to even have a chance.
Yeah, that makes you, what, 13-4? Probably still doesn't win you the division, but it could
get
you to the
5-6. If the one loss is the Detroit, then no, then it's not happening. But I think that's what you would have to do. I think 13-4 wins the division.
Okay. Yeah, I like where you had that there. But to my point,
yes, they haven't played their best football. I think their best football is ahead of them.
Uh-huh.
That being said, like, they still haven't proven to me that they have not earned, no matter who they're playing right now, there's no chance. They can just roll out the footballs and win this game. They haven't earned that. Because they haven't played that clean of football.
Okay, I hear you. If they're playing like they will next week, San Francisco. Totally agree. When they're playing a Detroit team, when they're playing Minnesota, I tend to agree. But I think what we're going to see on Sunday is going to be a lot more reminiscent of that Arizona Cardinals game, which I think we would agree is their best 60-minute performance of the year.
Yep.
Then it will be the Lions game or even what the Rams game came down to. I can't picture a scenario where Caleb Williams has the opportunity to win this game. I don't know how they could. They are so bad. The Packers are by no means playing their best football, but the good thing we've learned about Matt LaFleur is about this time of year through the end of the season is when his teams start ramping up. He's really, really good after the bye, outside of immediately after the bye, where he's 2-3.
And by the way,
I think that's such a phony stat, though, because this is such a different team than we've seen in years past.
Sure. But it's kind of the manner in which they've lost.
Sure.
You know, they've got one really good win against the Bears back in 2021, where they won 45-30. But other than that, they scored 37-8, 38-10. They won 24-12, and then last year lost to a very bad Broncos team, 19-17. Like, the way that they've come out flat, they've scored a grand total of 13 points in the first quarters in those five games. Like, so, yes, the 2-3 record, it varies from team to team. Mm-hmm. I also think it says something when you're, and again, we talked about this a little bit with Chewy. You're going to come out flat a little bit.
Yeah, they will.
Because you haven't practiced. There was a week where you did not practice at all because that's the nature of the CBA in the NFL in 2024. So, you know, athletes are creatures of habit. You're probably going to come out a little bit flat in the first quarter, which, again, is another little slight advantage for the Bears. If the longer the Packers keep the Bears around in this game, the less they have to rely on Caleb Williams. Like, DeAndre Swift should be getting more carries. Like, the numbers aren't, you know, it's not like he's averaging 3.2 yards per carry.
No, he's been okay for them, but they've just been playing from behind. So
exactly.
Right?
But the longer the Packers take a little while to kind of click into gear, the longer the Bears stick around, the less they have to ask Caleb Williams to do.
15-9-3. That's how much the Bears have scored each of their last three games, which all ended in losses.
Yeah,
the Packers are scoring more than 15-9-3.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Bears will score a whole heck of a lot more than despite this injection of you know, excitement, I don't even think is the right word, but, you know, they fire Shane Waldron, their offensive coordinator. They promote Thomas Brown, who obviously spent a year in Madison, and I mentioned last year was the interim OC in Carolina. So there's probably some injection of excitement, but it is such a level of disarray and dysfunction in Chicago right now, right? Like, we've talked about it all week across all of our shows. You saw the Silvey report. Veteran players allegedly asking for Tyson Bagent to start this weekend, which obviously isn't happening. I just don't see how a football team can go from that on Tuesday and Wednesday to hosting a team who's clearly much superior to them this year and winning that game.
What?
Packers are good to score at least 27. There's no way the Bears are getting that number.
I don't know if the Packers will get to 27.
24?
Yeah, I feel more comfortable with 24.
What does the score differential need to be for you to come in on Monday, a Mr. Irrelevant,
and say
confident?
I was right?
Yeah. Because if
0% chance means they have to win 35-3.
Yeah, no. They can't win by a walk-off field goal.
So 28-7, does that fit into the category?
Oh, yeah, I think even 28-14 does. I think a double-digit win, if they win by 10 and control throughout, yeah.
So as the total implies, it's going to be like a 23-17-ish victory for the Packers. That's not good enough for you.
Shouldn't be if it's a 0% chance they lose.
I guess I need to see how it looks.
Oh, okay. Got to build in yourself some wiggle room.
That's just smart, Josh. That's just smart.
But what if they're up 23-3 entering the fourth quarter?
You would hope a team that with 0% chance to win would be able to close the door
and not kind of keep it ajar for some Bears bleep
for the
to
most
happen.
Dysfunctional
now, in
team.
My defense, I never said there's a 0% chance the Chicago Bears keep it closer than I was expecting. I just said there is a 0% chance when we go to sleep on Sunday.
Yeah, uh-huh. He's already backing down.
Well, I got into his mind right away.
No. He's backing down. I thought he was going to stay strong for all 2 hours.
I am
this
strong.
Took 16 minutes.
It's 0%. But I'm just saying, you're putting words
voice
in my mouth.
Voice is getting higher.
No. What we're trying to do is pick apart your theory here.
My
and
theory
we're realizing
is the
it's not as...
0% chance the Packers lose.
We're not,
that is
we're,
the theory.
We're realizing your bravado of 0% is not as ironclad as you're making it seem.
Ironclad. Good use of that.
You're giving yourself wiggle room because a 0% chance when you say that implies blowout, not close. Team shows no ability to win. They're probably going to have...
Eberflus is getting fired on Monday.
That's what I anticipate.
But at 23-17, you're still trying to find yourself in wiggle room of, well, what if they came back and, you know, it was 23-3? Like, no, that's a team you keep pounding.
Yeah.
If it's 23-3, if this team is the 0% chance.
All gas, no break. That's what I hope for.
Now we're hoping.
I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen. If I could, I would like to say, hey, the Packers win the coin toss like they seemingly do every week. But for once, they defer. Put the defense on the field. Sack Caleb Williams three times on the first drive because that offensive line probably shouldn't be employed, given what the New England Patriots did to them a week ago. Make Rashawn Gary look like the defensive player of the year we've hoped he would look like for, what is it, 3 years now?
Yeah, like, I think Rashawn Gary is who he is at this point.
But
against Chicago's offensive line.
Oh, yeah, they've given up 38 sacks. Like,
he might be able to get a sack when he's actually blocked, which is something he's not been able to achieve this year.
I think the Packers win. I think the Packers win big. I want to make that clear. But I also want to recognize that there is a chance that they lose. That's where I think Joshy and I have, and when Jason Wilde joins,
are you
going to
say 2%?
Where, no, there's like 25% chance they lose this game.
No shot.
There's a 25% chance they lose this game. Because again, this has not been the version of the Green Bay Packers that you have in your mind hasn't existed this year. There's not a team in the league. No, even then, they let Arizona hang around in the third quarter then when they could have stepped on the throat. Love throws the interception, right? And then they eventually put them away, which is great. But the version of the Packers that you're talking about has not consistently showed up. They have not earned the 0% chance. Because that implies that they're playing great football right now. And anytime you base something, and this has happened so many times with the Badgers. Like, how many times when the Big Ten still had divisions? How many times was, well, the rest of the West stinks, so clearly the Badgers are going to win it. And then guess what happens? The Badgers don't win it because they also stink. So when when you're basing your 0% solely on the other team, like, no, man, if it's 0%, it needs to be about what the dominant team can do. It needs to be about what they have done.
So psychologically, you're running me in circles. Respect. But all in all...
Intellectually as well.
I mean, that doesn't take much, though.
Well, both of those were just... I mean, what are we doing here? I take time out of my day to say, hey, guys, I would love to come hang out with Gabe and Josh on Friday morning.
Yeah.
I'd like to wake up early. I'm going to work a long day just like Gabe.
Bleeping who?
Because I want to come hang out with Gabe and Joshy, who are two of my favorite people. And you guys have just had this in your mind all week. That you're just going to run circles around me Friday morning. You guys have been planning for 3 days how you're going to gang up on me today. And I think that's unfair and quite rude, honestly.
I mean...
0%.
I appreciate you think we thought of this any time before 6:30 a.m.
I mean, we're flattered, but...
Okay, maybe I didn't think that about both of you. Gabe, I think you might be excused here. Joshy? I think you've been thinking about this since Tuesday.
No.
I live rent-free in your head. It's unbelievable.
Here's the thing. Joshy is a mercenary for hire. If you were making some good points he agreed with, he would turn his back on me like that. Because you know what? It's happened. It's happened.
Was that your way of saying I'm making no good points?
In Joshy's mind, correct. Yeah, Joshy's point. By the way, Ryan from Iguanago is saying, guess Gabe didn't get the shirt memo. So yeah, I don't have any plaid or flannel on today. Where Joshy and Strofe do. We are running late. We want to get to Jason Wilde. I'm sure he is going to disagree with your 0% as well, even though he believes the Green Bay Packers will likely win on Sunday. Jason Wilde joins us next, but I do want to tell you, because we are approaching the weekend and you want to make sure, whether you're watching a big college football game on Saturday night, whether you're kicking your shoes up at noon to watch the green and gold, you want to make sure you've got something great in your freezer. Of course, I'm talking about Palermo's Pizza. Nothing goes better with Palermo's than football. And with the vast variety of pizza that they have because of their family and brands, Palermo's Urban Pie, Connie's Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, they are going to have a slice that fits your appetite. Well, how does Palermo's do this? Well, they've been doing it for over 60 years right here in Milwaukee. So, of course, they know what they're doing when it comes to premium frozen pizza. So make sure you're keeping an eye out in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
Ready? Down! Put! All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week. You're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, dude.
Dude, I'm with Ryan in McGuanago. I didn't realize that this show was being held in like 1995 Seattle.
Yeah, I didn't get the memo.
We got Eddie Vedder coming up on the other side to talk about their big show in Madison at the R&R Station.
Do you have a flannel? Do you have anything plaid or flannel, Jason?
Oh my God. This is right up my alley. Like, this was my, first of all, having graduated from the University of Wisconsin in 1994, my big accomplishment musically, certainly not playing it, was attending a show in 1991. At the R&R Station, which was raised when they built the Kohl Center many years later. It was just this total hole-in-the-wall dump on Park Street. And I saw Pearl Jam before I think Alive had come out, but it was not, it had not gone really popular. I think that album is 10, if I recall correctly.
That is correct.
And you could go on their website. You can find the set list.
Oh, I have it open. March 26, 1992.
There you go, 92. And so it was like a 5-minute walk from my apartment, and I couldn't get any of my roommates to go with me. So I was a total loser in my flannel shirt going by myself to a concert. But at least I get to say that I saw Pearl Jam before they became what they became.
Hey, that's a way cooler story than when I went to see Shinedown by myself. I mean, so you got that going.
And you were wearing the same shirt you're wearing now.
Accurate statement. Yeah, yeah.
Jason,
all right, you guys are way late. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's on us because we were berating Strophy. Yeah, we were berating him because he said there's a 0% chance that the Packers lose this game, which I know you've learned that lesson the hard way. Homer's learned the lesson the hard way, but he still talks in the absolutes. But I'm just trying to teach him that, you know, hey, while I think the Packers win, Chase, I think they win big, I still recognize because of the way that Jordan Love has turned the ball over, because of the way that they have committed penalties at the rate in which they've committed penalties, like there's still a chance they lose this game.
Sure, there absolutely is. And, you know, there's also the chance that the guys on that Bears offense Sylvie's taken a lot of grief. I noticed, mainly because the people on Twitter who are doing it to him are doing it off of a tweet that mentioned that I was on their show, so I'm getting all the notifications, which is super fun. But, like, look, Sylvie is a pro's pro, and by the way, he's pretty well-connected inside Hallis Hall. And so, you know, when he reported that there were guys that went to Eberflus wanting them to move on from Shane Waldron. He didn't get that from the backup quarterback's dad, nor did he get the fact that there were some guys suggesting that they should go to Badgent instead of continuing to get the crap kicked out of Caleb Williams. But is it possible that now that they've made that change, that will give them some sort of surge of energy and maybe they'll actually try harder instead of, you know, walking off the field in the middle of a play like DJ Moore? Maybe. Again, do I think any of this is likely? No. But I will say this. I feel like it's my fault that Alex Strolf has been emboldened to make this type of a prediction.
Jason, wow. What did you do?
Because going into the Jacksonville game, I appeared on Green Bay game day, and I told the story of me on the media bus Super Bowl 32 and saying, I don't see any way the Packers lose this game, and then they lost to the Broncos. And I pulled out just because I wanted to test if it still was the whammy that it was that day in January 1998. I said, I don't see any way the Packers lose this game to the Jaguars.
They made it interesting for you.
And they almost made me regret that, too. So I think maybe subconsciously, I'm not saying that I hold this much sway over Strof overall, but somewhere in the recesses of his brain, that's how he got to 0%. He didn't want to completely plagiarize me, so he instead went 0%, and he's getting a lot of run for it. And now we're going to find out in about 48 hours or so if he was right.
Okay. I respect that you think this was Jason Wilde inspired. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. However, the smart decision for you would have been not saying that about the Jaguars, which was a game I was more nervous for, and saved it for this game. And I guess what we talked about and what made us run so late to get to you, Jason, was this opinion is more based on the dysfunction of the Chicago Bears than it is on my confidence in the Green Bay Packers. This should be a get-right game of sorts, still coming off of that loss 2 weeks ago to the Detroit Lions. I don't remember the last time they started 0-3 in division play. They're 0-2 for the first time since 2005. In my brain, there's just no way, shape, or form I trust Caleb Williams or Matt Eberflus or anything about the Chicago Bears team that they could defeat the Green Bay Packers unless they go up 3-0 and something catastrophic happens. That's like the only way it plays out in my head.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, and this is the reason why it is you cannot have, to use your word, those catastrophic moments in your season, is that they should have beaten Washington in Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are leading that game. They would have been, what, 5-2?
Correct.
If that idiot Stevenson isn't busy trash-talking the crowd and instead is in position to bat down a Hail Mary, which is what happens to what? About 98% of Hail Marys don't work unless Aaron Rodgers is throwing them. And suddenly now they're 5-2, and belief is a real thing. It really is. Like it is a power in sports. Even if you don't have any right to believe, belief matters. But on the flip side, and to Strof's point, devastation also matters. And if you have a cataclysmic moment like that one, then it breeds things like E.J. Moore walking off the field while a play is still going on, that kind of stuff. So, look, they've lost three in a row, including that one. They have looked absolutely pitiful in the two losses they had in the aftermath of that backbreaking loss. But, you know, they got rid of this offensive lineman that they overpaid who had the mistake. I mean, here's another example of what happens when things are going bad. The guy called in sick for the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
My back's so sore. Like that's, again, those are symptoms of dysfunction. Can they get that out of their building in one week?
Exactly. No.
I'm not sure. But you can't rule out the possibility that this will be something, and the rivalry nature, maybe they get their guys up for this. I actually think you should be more nervous about this game than you were about Jacksonville. Like, they were in control in Jacksonville, and their quarterback got hurt.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think, you know.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. I don't think changing to your third offensive play caller in 11 months is really going to give you the boost you need, right? To your point, momentum is very real, both positively and negatively. They would have been on a four-game winning streak had Jaden Daniels not converted that Hail Mary, and now they're on a three-game losing streak.
I think you'd feel differently that. I would recognize that they could get a boost, because how many times have we seen it where a coach gives them a 1 week boost? It doesn't get rid
of
this dysfunction.
As an example, yeah.
You know, you get the 1 week boost of, oh, new coach, new whatever. I would be willing to give the Bears that benefit of the doubt had Caleb Williams not come out and gone, Yeah, I haven't really talked with Thomas much.
Like, Isn't that nuts?
Okay then. But Jason, more on the Packers. Under Matt LaFleur, they have not played their best football coming out of the bye. Is that something I can actually glean information from, or is it just so different year to year? It's just a fun thing to look at, but it doesn't actually tell you anything.
No, what's interesting is they took a different approach to the bye. He gave his coaches basically homework assignments and then kicked them out of the building and had them work remotely. So you had a project, you had to complete, but he wanted you to get away from being in the building, which is a different approach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that, you know, maybe that is a good thing to change it up. They have been really good after the bye in terms of their record in totality. What they haven't been is great in that first game right after the bye. They've been pretty sloppy. And I guess I would also say, though, that could they be sloppier than they were going into the bye with the number of drops?
I don't want to find out.
Yeah, if they are, I like the Bears' chances a lot more all of a sudden because they've been really sloppy throughout the first half of the season. So I don't know if there's year-to-year, they're coming off the bye, so they're not going to be on point. I don't know if I'm willing to say that. I would, again, emphasize this, though, like we were talking about yesterday. The fact that Jordan Love is practicing not only makes Jordan Love better than he has been with all the time he's missed in practice. It also makes guys like, because I was talking with this guy and I wrote about him today, it makes guys like Dontavian Wicks better. Like Dontavian Wicks has 7 drops. They are the tied for second most in the league. But I would say that at least 4 of the 7 have been on inaccurate throws that he got his hands on, but he didn't catch. And there's still drops. I'm not excusing him. But, like, Jordan Love's inaccuracy, you know, you want to talk about how good he was down the stretch last year. You know, his completion percentage in those last 8 games was 70%. It is 61% through 6.5 games this year. Not only are the interceptions up from the second half of last year, but the completion percentage is down. And if his leg is better and he's stepping into his throws and his footwork is better and his form and fundamentals and mechanics are better, then you would hope his accuracy is better. And that not only helps him be better, it also helps his receivers get balls put in better places. It was interesting and very telling to me that yesterday when we talked to Adam Stenovich was asked by one reporter about 3 different ways who he clearly had a story about how Jordan Love's injuries affected why he played poorly. And Adam Stenovich gave him nothing to help that narrative. And he just kept talking about how the interceptions were decision-based, not injury-based. So that is something that they clearly want Jordan Love clean up, and they feel like it's been a problem.
Do you side more with the reporter or Adam Stenovich?
I side with Adam Stenovich. I think his inaccuracy is the injury-related, but if you look at his interceptions, most of them have been, well, I don't know about most of them, but of the 10, more of them have been decisions than they have been, you know, he's not like the one he sailed to, it was at home, I can't remember which game it was, that he sailed to Christian Watson. Houston, maybe?
Yeah, that was Houston.
Like, that might have been one where if he, you know, he's fading to his right or to his left, he's getting pressure from his right. He doesn't feel the confidence to step into his left with his left leg while he's being pressured. Maybe that's one of them. But, like, you know, he threw another bad interception in that game. There was the Wicks one against Minnesota where they had the 0 blitz and he just threw it up for grabs. I mean, I obviously we know the 2 pick sixes. Like, I think more of them have been decision-based than leg-based.
Jason, appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing you coming up in 90 minutes on Wilde and Tausch.
Keep on rocking in the free world, boys. Not you, Gabe, because you dressed like their uncle.
You kind of did, actually.
Well, take care. Be good.
He drops a bomb on me and then runs away?
Uncle Gabriel.
Just wearing my nice little Jordan brand Marquette quarter zip as Marquette's got a nice game tonight against Maryland. Apparently that makes me your uncle.
Big one tonight.
I don't know how big it is.
The win.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a good test.
It's a nice test.
And coming off of, I would say, kind of a lackluster win earlier in the week. It's a big one.
Yeah. I don't know if Marquette really has a big one until...
Purdue's not what
Wisconsin.
They were a year ago. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's got a big one tonight. Number 9 Arizona coming to town.
Oh, Benny's going to be there, right?
Yeah, it's the Final Four reunion.
Yeah, celebrating all the Final Four teams.
Yep.
What do you say the percent chances of the Badgers winning that one is?
1%. Oh. Arizona's good this year. Yeah. Arizona's really good. And Wisconsin, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be. Not very good is my answer.
Wow. Not willing to go. Yeah, suddenly 0% is not part of the vernacular anymore.
Home game, like it is for the Bears. But
so we're seeing some inconsistencies.
But college basketball is a little bit different than the NFL, right? I mean, you can have a weird one-off. Where in the NFL, it's not as common.
Oh, because any given Sunday, I'm sure that came out of nowhere.
Except this Sunday. Nothing given this Sunday except the Packers W.
Yeah, nothing. I don't know about you. I mean,
Packers win given Sunday.
The NFL
is
known for consistently going chalk.
Yeah.
That's what it's known for. Favorites win all the time. Vegas just loses their ass.
Gambling's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an easy thing to do. Yeah, you're totally right.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for that engagement ring. Best place to shop. Or diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Now, my wife, I kind of had an idea, but I used the team at the Jewelry Center to kind of help refine that idea. Maybe you're somebody who doesn't have any clue. That's fine. There's no problem with that. Go to her, see if she's got a Pinterest page, grab some ideas off of that, bring it in. And the helpful team at the Jewelry Center, which, again, is always going to point you in the right direction, that team is what separates them from everyone else in the Milwaukee area. Whether you're looking for naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out their inventory. Any one of their three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, shop online, shoptjc.com. If you head over to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed. When I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Is there anything that makes you a little bit nervous about this game? Well, let me ask you. I guess I'll ask this a different way. Because it's not necessarily nervous about this game. But I think you would recognize, I think everybody recognizes, that the Packers need to get better in the second half in order to
be... I'm only a little bit of a buffoon. You don't need to speak to me like I'm a full-blown buffoon.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Josh, I didn't say that to you. I was talking strictly to Gabe there.
You looked at me.
I did. That's true.
What is the one thing that you are hoping they improve upon heading into the second half? What's the number one at the top of the list?
I imagine you would both agree with me. It's the interceptions and the turnovers offensively, right? The decision-making by Love specifically. It hadn't really been back-breaking in terms of the win-loss column until that Detroit game, right? I mean, we saw how the momentum shifted and how that game was effectively over at halftime when Jordan Love threw that pick six to Kirby Joseph. Some of that decision-making's got to get cleaned up. And I was curious, you know, I asked Jason, because we had talked about it a little bit yesterday on Weekly Wildy, which you can find on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page, you know, how much of these mistakes and the decision-making is based on him not being 100%, and how much of it is just Jordan Love making bad decisions? And, you know, we kind of went back and forth on that a little bit. I think both can be a little bit true, but the decision-making clearly is not what it was a year ago in the second half. He was very Aaron Rodgers-esque in terms of he was not turning over the football down the stretch last year. I don't need him to only throw one interception the rest of the season, but I need him to throw less than he did in the first half, right? Especially the pick sixes that we've talked about. He's thrown 10 interceptions through 9 games and 2 pick sixes. That's not going to win you a lot of football games. Yeah. So that would be number one on my list of, and there's a few things, right? Like the penalties, the self-inflicted wounds have been bad, but, and that includes the interceptions, but that would be number one priority to clean up.
Yeah. And I think they're kind of linked hand in hand. I wonder with the Kirby Joseph pick six, because he tried to roll out, clearly couldn't. And I don't know if then he just like panicked and that led to the bad decision.
Yeah,
like if he's,
I don't
if
think
he's,
he saw.
Well, no, he clearly didn't see him. But I'm saying if he's fully healthy and able to actually stretch out a little bit more, does he then see him? Does he see somebody else open downfield? Does he get closer to the sideline? And, oh, no, there's nothing here. I can throw it away. Right? Like I wonder about that. Now, again, no matter how injured or not you are, you can't throw Will Levis, as Josh has termed them. You can't throw the Will Levis pick.
No.
Where it's just you look foolish.
Good term, Joshy.
Of like what the bleep just happened there. Like you have to clean that up. And again, he's going to throw interceptions.
Absolutely.
But there is a line between what Aaron Rodgers was, because he was so good at avoiding turnovers, and leading the league in interceptions. There's a happy medium there that I'm okay with in terms of you're taking, because again, there's, I go back to Jameis Winston, who once famously had a 30-30 season, right? Like you can't have that either, right? You can't be taking that many risks where you're turning the ball over that many times. You're turning it over twice a bleeping game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the most correctable, because we have seen him play stretches of very clean football. So I think it's based on the way he has performed, I think that is the most correctable. Like, honestly, and honestly, I think the most important thing after that is the pass rush. I just don't think that actually, I don't know how you can actually improve that outside of the players you have getting better.
Yeah, you still, in theory, got worse at the trade deadline.
Correct.
Right, by moving Preston Smith. Now, to see some of the, you know, Jeff Hafley talk about some of these guys that will fill in that role, right? The Lucas Van Esses, the Brenton Cox Juniors of the world, and how excited he is for their opportunity. That's great. But does that equal output? Does that equal production? I'm not sold on yet. This is obvious. This serves as a very good opportunity for a quote-unquote get-right game for this pass rush. But as you go forward, it's not like you're going to have, let's say they have eight sacks like they did against Tennessee this
weekend.
Oh, I feel
good about that.
That's not going to translate against San Francisco next week. Right? And so that's why I say a quote-unquote get-right game, because this is a game where you can pressure the quarterback and you can get home. But when you play a really good team like San Francisco and a really good O-line, it's probably going to look messy and ugly again. So this serves as kind of a must-win game, as well as a 0% chance they lose game.
First one ever in NFL history. Must-win, 0% chance
I heard
lose.
Goodell say that on the NFL Network. You're totally right. First one ever. So, yeah, all in all, there are several things to be concerned about. And I know all of us during the bye week referenced the Rob Domofsky article where he ranked the top four, right? Mm-hmm. Interceptions was one of them. The pass rush was one of them. Yep. Penalties and dropped passes were the other two. Those are the four big concerns for this team that can move them from, hey, this is kind of a frisky wild card team, to, oh, okay, this is a real Super Bowl contender.
Well, because the thing with at least three of those, again, I just, there was a story today in the Journal Sentinel saying, Brenton Cox Jr. has been a bystander through the first nine games. He's been a victim of the deep core of a defensive lineman the Packers have on their 53-man roster. The Packers are deep on the defensive line in only that they have bodies there. That they're like, if the Packers are deep on the defensive line, then every NFL team is deep on the defensive line, because you have to carry X amount of defensive linemen in order to have a successful team. But so I throw that out. But to me, it's a consistency thing with the interceptions, the penalties, and the drop passes, because we've seen how explosive the offense can be.
Absolutely.
Right? We've seen how, but we've also seen them three and out. Like we've seen, it's been such a roller coaster ride. And in order to have a chance to win a Super Bowl as a wild card team, which what we think this team is, like there has to be a level of consistency. You can't just be, the super explosive stuff is great and could probably win you a game. If you want to win three and make it to a Super Bowl, there has to be a level of consistency that exists, because otherwise those lulls are going to catch up to you the way they have when they've played good teams like Philadelphia, like Minnesota, like Detroit this season.
I got a little bit of a take here.
Oh, boy.
You mentioned Brenton Cox Jr.
Is it a good enough take that we should tease it?
No, Brenton Cox Jr. is going to lead the team in sacks the rest of the way. And that's not saying he's that good. He's just going to have like four or five. Like that's all I see.
Joshy,
that's a take.
If he has four or five sacks over the, I am going to be doing cartwheels.
Yes. Yeah, it's something. But
that's an improvement.
No one else has done it.
It's undeniable improvement.
It is. it is such a huge improvement. If one guy can generate those type of numbers,
uh-huh.
I mean, Devontae Wyatt still leads the team with 3 sacks. Uh-huh. How many games did he miss? 2? Yeah. 3?
Well, he missed most of the Minnesota game because he got hurt in the first half. He missed the Rams game. He missed the Cardinals game. Was he back for the Texans game?
I think he was back for the Texans.
So, yeah, he missed 2.5 games.
So, missed 2.5 games. Leads the team in sacks with 3.
Yeah. It's Cox Jr. time.
I mean, I hope one of these guys busts through. I hope so. I hope that more playing time for Van Ness and Cox and Aaron Mosby, who got a half sack. I hope that leads to, because that's literally all I have left when it comes to the defensive line. Is hope
it's not
that
good.
One of these young guys somehow is a gamer, like just hasn't been able to show his, you know, he's one of those players that, yeah, he's okay in practice.
Let's go full circle.
For whatever reason, the big lights, oh, he's a gamer. He just turns it on when the game's on. That's all I have to hope for on the defensive line.
We're down to hoping now?
On the defensive line, yes.
Yes.
You asked me that question like 50 minutes ago, so I just wanted to make sure we're on the same
page. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do. Because you have nothing to write home about in that department.
What else do I have? What else do I have, Strofe?
Nothing.
On the defensive line.
You have Xavier McKinney in the defensive backfield.
Yeah, look, I mean, the fact that Keyshawn Nixon is among the team leaders with 2 sacks.
Yeah, he's as many as Rashawn Gary.
You know?
Adrian Cooper's played less than 50% of defensive
snaps. He's got 2.5.
Yeah.
But the
good news is they're playing the Bears.
There's only so much against the really good teams you can do in terms of scheming up pressure. There's only so much.
Yeah, and you see some good teams down the stretch here, right? We mentioned the Niners next week. You go to the Lions on Thursday, December 5th. The Seahawks aren't very good right now, but it's a hard place to play, and it's not like
they're a good
trash
enough
team.
Yeah, they're a good enough team that they need your full attention on the road.
I don't know what to make of the Dolphins yet. The Saints are horrible, but you play the Vikings again, and maybe you'll see a better version of the Bears in Week 18, but I have no faith. I mean, this is your best opportunity this season is this weekend to get right, at least in some capacity on the
line
and the
on
pass
the defensive
rush.
Line and the pass rush, certainly, because they gave up 9 sacks last week. It was 9 sacks to a team that had 19 going in.
Yeah. They just about, almost doubled their total. Well, not almost doubled. 33%. Insane. You don't do that.
Can you just stop with the math?
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
Yeah.
33% increase.
Well, I'll explain to you how that actually works. It now accounts for 33%, but it was more than a 33% increase. We can explain to you.
Yeah.
50%?
Please explain to you how that... No, again, like I said, just stop. Please. For you, for us, for everybody. Warmer. Starting to figure it out. Change the way you do business. Take more control with the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's treasury management solutions. If you're like Strofe, let Fifth Third Bank handle the math when it comes to you and your business. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for your business. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC. We're going to continue to make fun of Strofe, but not because of his football takes. Coming up next.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation, we've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
She's in my mind when she's not right there beside me.
Question that we have for Brian McGuanago on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and text line, 800-990-3776. How many sacks do the Packers need this game to feel better about the pass rush? The number doesn't exist.
Yeah, correct. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I will feel good about it in the moment if they get like 7 sacks.
They had 8 against Tennessee earlier in the year. That was obviously their best showing of the season by a mile.
But there's always going to be the caveat. There's always going to be the caveat of this team stinks off on their offensive line. And so you would wonder about, okay, what kind of sustainability does this have against teams that it can actually block?
So let me actually flip the question the other way around. What would make you go, wow, they're worse than I thought? How many, if they have less than...
If they only have 1.
Yeah.
If they only have 1 or 0. Because even if they completely change the game plan and somehow convince Caleb Williams to be something he's not and get rid of the ball quickly and on time, which was the criticism of him coming into his rookie year, if they can somehow even do that, at some point he's going to hold on to the football and somebody should be able to get home.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah,
but if they have two sacks, I mean, it'd be okay. They got two sacks, whatever. Right. You move on.
If they have three, same thing.
Yeah.
If they get to 4, 5, 6, you go okay. Well, that's kind of what I mean.
They would need some astronomical number for me to think that they have some sort of pass rush.
Would they have to do what New digits. England did?
No, it's got to be the double digits.
They got to beat it.
Yeah, because New England doesn't have a pass rush.
No,
and they had 9 sacks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm anticipating somewhere around 4.
Yeah, 3,
which
4, 5.
Which is fine. You know,
somewhere in
that's
that
good
area.
Enough to win the game. So that's where I stand.
So Strofe.
Yes, Gabe.
I can't even remember what you were saying before you dove into this morning when you walked in. I was going to do this, but I was washing my crock pot.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to, you're making meatballs tonight.
I am, yeah. Well, I'm making meatballs throughout the day. I'm making spaghetti, yes.
Okay, so you've got the meatballs and the crock pot going, okay, I get you.
Yep.
But why?
I make good meatballs, by the way.
It was because I asked him, he was taking care of it. Washing it, and I said, well, when was the last time you used your crock pot that you would be washing it? Because
roast on Tuesday.
Well, because he was talking about washing it, and we were just dumbfounded of like, wait, why were you washing
it? I should rephrase.
Pot?
It was washed. I took it out of the dishwasher, but there were still some, like, you know how the dishwasher doesn't always perfectly get everything? There's still some little remnants that are now
that
sanitized.
That doesn't
happen to me. I probably didn't clean it very thoroughly for my
that
pot roast.
That doesn't happen to me, like... That's not even an indictment on Josh. That's an indictment. He's got a perfect dishwasher.
No, I know, like, stuff like especially a crock pot or even a pan. You know, there is no level of dishwash that is going to remove this stuff that is spackled to the side.
It's not like there was an entire like layer. It was just like little spots. I have a little OCD.
Okay, so we were under the impression. Okay, this is better than what we thought, Josh, because we were under the impression that your crock pot was just sitting in your sink, dirty for the last 3 days.
Well, it did until 11 p.m. last night. And that's only 2 days, in my defense.
Were you doing the classic?
I had the pot roast Tuesday. Let it soak.
Yeah, this is a classic. The soak.
Yeah, the soak.
Yes. Wait, I mean, look, do you need, especially a crock pot, let it soak for a little bit? Sure. Does it need to soak for 2 days?
48 hours?
Do you need to soak it longer than you're using the crock pot for? Absolutely not.
No, you know, like last night, you know, I had a couple bourbons while I was watching Thursday Night Football for my friends at Door County Distillery, and, you know, when I would dump the ice out, I was dumping it into the crock pot. So there was probably, like, other dish stuff within said soak.
Are you a drunk?
I'm not the greatest adult.
Are you a drunk cleaner?
No, I wasn't drunk last night. I just had a little buzz.
Because
some people will get intoxicated, and then that's when they start cleaning their house.
Do I do it? You know what? You might be onto something. So, like, I am the type of person, if I was to host a gathering, right? Yeah. If I have a couple bodies over or whatever, I'm cleaning the night of. I'm not cleaning the next morning because...
That's a key move.
It is. I mean, it's a smart play. It's something I've learned in my adulthood. So, I guess the answer would be sometimes. Sometimes I'm a drunk cleaner. Yeah.
See, but you live with someone.
I do. I live with my lovely girlfriend, yes.
So you live with your girlfriend, like, because I feel like the bachelor lifestyle is that's when the soak, you know, you let something soak in the sink for days on end.
It doesn't bother her, which is nice.
Because I feel like that's
when... At least she hasn't told me it bothers her.
I feel like there was only a very small time in my adult life where I lived on my own, where that was more prevalent, because it's like, I don't care. I mean, when I started living with my now wife, when she was just my girlfriend, like, yeah, that soaking things in the sink for days on end.
That ends.
Like,
well,
for example.
Gabriel.
So I'm just going to tell you this right now. So the dishwasher ran last night. So the dishwasher was full this morning. I made myself a little yogurt parfait for breakfast.
Ooh.
So that bowl that I used is just sitting in the sink. By the time my wife comes home, like, I want to make sure that the kitchen is... in perfect shape. So, like, the dishwasher is going to be empty. Like, I can't just let that bowl sit there because that's embarrassing. Like, I can't let my wife think
embarrassing?
That.
Embarrassing?
Yeah, I would be embarrassed if the bowl that I used this morning was still in the sink by the time she got home from work this afternoon.
Josh, there's no way you're that clean.
I do the dishes every single night.
Wow, I'm in third place.
Like, I don't think I'm particularly clean.
Oh, I'm
bad. Just want to be respectful to the person
who
is making dinner tonight.
Real quick. I'm habitually bad at laundry.
How are you bad at laundry?
There was a laundry basket in the bathroom.
Okay.
Sometimes I forget to, when I take my clothes off, jump in the shower, put my laundry in, said it sits right next to it.
That's just lazy.
Yeah, that's just laziness. And look, I'll be honest, my laundry situation in my house, our washer dryer is upstairs, which is a life changer. You don't have to carry something all the way down to the basement. That thing's right outside my room. It is so easy to do laundry now.
So you're good at it.
I don't want to say, I don't know if you're good at laundry. I do it when I need to do it.
This will be no shock to either of you, but I will admit it. You're both better adults than me.
All right. Well, we'll try to continue to bring you along and make you a better adult. But we'll get back to the Packers in 2 minutes. Jen, give me a treat.